We begin our reflection this morning thinking upon those words of the gospel. Jesus answering Pilate saying, "Yes, you say that I am a king." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Because Christ is king, no one can remain neutral. Everyone must decide to be for Christ as king or against him. There is no middle ground. This is what we see on Good Friday. And it's an important lesson for us here in our world today. When Christ affirms that he is a king before the high priest and his court, as well as before Pilate and the Romans, they all reject him as king, and they make a mockery of his kingship. Herod and his army dress him up to ridicule his claim to royalty. The Roman soldiers taunt him as king of the Jews. While giving him thorns for a crown, a reed for a scepter, and rags for royal robes. The chief priests instigate the crowd to shout back to Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." Christ is one of their own, but incredibly, they reject his kingship, and they prefer the imposed rule of a despised foreign tyrant. Because Christ claimed to be king, he was hated. He was crucified to death by so many people for one reason or another. The rulers and the chief priests, they indeed wanted a king, but they wanted a king on their own terms. Their kind of king should ride a war horse and not a donkey. He should take care of the righteous and not the sinners. He should judge the world and reserve salvation for those few who are deserving of it, such as they themselves. On Palm Sunday, the crowd was willing to call Christ their king, so long as he received popular recognition. Everyone wants a winner. But the moment Christ passes out of favor, the fickle crowd turns on him in hatred. Pilate and the soldiers, they too choose to reject the kingship of Christ. The Romans are willing to tolerate the Jewish religion as long as their subjects keep it private and to themselves. However, if religion has public claims and public consequences on their own worldview, then the Romans think that it must be forcefully put back into its private place. The bad thief, suffering on his cross, he lashes out to mock Christ. You would think that this man in agony would acknowledge his sins and ask forgiveness. But no, he stubbornly refuses repentance, pridefully preferring his own will to that of Christ the King. Dear friends, all of these various attitudes against Christ as King can be found still today in our society. At times, we resemble Israel's religious leaders. We want God, but on our own terms. We long for God's coming. We cry out for his help. But then we resent his intrusion. We begrudge the call to conversion God presents to us. We want a king, to be sure, yes, but we want our own kind of king, and he must behave as we want him to. And then sometimes we are like the impenitent thief. We demand that the king do what we want him to, that he save us without any repentance on our part. Rather than conform ourselves to the divine truth, we complain and we criticize against him who is the truth. More often than not, this pride is just moody and childish. But if this willfully stubborn blindness to the truth about ourselves and our God, if this willfully stubborn blindness continues day after day, it may one day lead to tragic impenitence during the last hour of our life. And at other times, we act like the Romans. We allow God to have a part of our lives, but we do not permit God to rule our lives. Our society limits God by drawing a line which we do not want him to cross. As a society, we forbid God to have any say in politics, economics, entertainment, and our love life, etc. As a society, we have restricted Christ to private life. We have accepted the error that faith is a strictly private matter, out of fear of looking different or of offending someone. Our society wants to claim the right to be one thing privately and another thing publicly. Of course, this dualism cannot last. We inevitably privatize our faith so much that we ourselves no longer believe it. While today's Feast of Christ the King was established to combat this privatization, such was the aim of Pope Pius XI in his 1925 encyclical letter, Quas Primas. This feast is meant to help us recognize publicly that Christ is King. This feast is meant to rally us to serve him as such in our society, as well as in our hearts and homes. Pope Pius XI wrote that Christ is King. We must receive him as he is, not as our pride would like to have him. We must give Christ authority over everything, not just a portion. Pope Pius XI writes, "Not one of our faculties is exempt from the empire of Christ the King. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls." Words of Pope Pius XI in the 1925 encyclical Quas Primas. So, dear friends, this is how we can do our part to reestablish the reign of Christ the King in our world today. We must imitate those faithful souls who on Good Friday stood by Christ as he suffered his passion while these faithful souls served him as their king. Like the good thief, Saint Dismas, we must admit our sins. We must humbly accept the pardon which Christ offers to those who sincerely repent. Such repentance represents the full acceptance of Christ as King, giving him authority over what is most painful and most shameful in our lives. And like Mary and Saint John, we must remain standing at the foot of the cross, standing to keep our Lord company and to make reparation for the sins he is subjected to. We make reparation by daily prayers, offering up our sacrifices, remaining faithful to the duties of our state in life. Like Veronica and Simon of Cyrene, we must brave the threats and the taunts of the crowd in order to maintain the practices of our Catholic faith and to stand up for the truth. We must stand up for the truth about the crime of abortion and vote accordingly. We must stand up for the truth about the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, whose relations must always be open to life. The truth that we Catholics must not and cannot support those government officials whose policies are diametrically opposed to the most fundamental issue of human life from conception. Like Veronica and Simon, we must stand up for truth by leading a good example, an example of mercy to those people in need, an example of true charity by offering the word of instruction and encouragement to those who might not know any better. So today, on this happy feast day, when we reaffirm Christ as our King, let us renew these good resolutions, and let us not be discouraged if we have already fallen away from them so many times in the past. Christ our King, He knows our weakness. This is why He comes to help us. He comes to heal us through the power of grace. Let us not underestimate what Christ can do for us if we fully give ourselves to Him. If we do our part now, if we trust in Him each and every day, if we are more faithful to prayer and sacrifice day in and day out, that His grace will sustain us through the present hour of human history, so that, having suffered continually for our King in this life here on earth, outnumbered though we may be, we may nevertheless be made worthy one day, like Veronica, Simon, and the good thief, to enter the eternal happiness of His kingdom in heaven. Amen. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.